Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. Now, to mark the one-year anniversary since Freda Gray passed away, but died, Steiner Show producer Stephanie Mavronis brings us our first interview today with Ralik Hayes. Ralik is coordinator for Baltimore Block.
Baltimore Block is a collective of friends, family, citizens that is committed to building community by using direct action and protest. The role of Block prior to the uprising, I think, was still a group that gave voice to the voiceless and kind of pressed on issues that those with power generally like people to ignore. I think with the uprising, our responsibility expanded and our reach expanded. In the wake of the uprising, you know, we were on the ground with the family of Freddie Gray. You know, people wanted to mobilize and they wanted support in that. And I think that's the role we played, is like those with experience in doing direct action, providing support to help the community do what it wanted to do. So most of the marches were led by the Gilmore community. Like when we came out there, they were pretty much self-organized. I had never seen like an entire community mobilize on a police district like that. And it was amazing and beautiful to watch. And they just needed support, like the logistical support of doing actions that, you know, only really trained organizers kind of do. And, you know, we live and do this work. So we provided that support. We did civil disobedience trainings. We provided martial support, keeping the action moving, blocking streets, you name it. And just have become kind of the known voice of like keeping the movement going besides other groups. But really the main ones that do actions and then use that as a way of telling the narrative of Baltimore City.
When you were younger, you had a lot of people who were kind of bringing you up in this tradition of organizing and activism, and then you felt like your role, I mean, you're still a young person, obviously, but you felt like you were kind of passing that on to, like, people who were still in high school, to the next generation.
It's the interesting, I guess, the change from being the student to the teacher while still also being a student yourself. My growth and tradition, I started organizing when I was 13 with the Baltimore Algebra Project, who recently did an action on park testing and standardized testing and how that affects students, which I think is actually really accurate in this time of need, where it's like people want these one-size-fits-all solutions for Baltimore, and that's just not the case. Baltimore isn't a one-size-fits-all. It has really nuanced problems that have solutions. The grassroots, like individuals and communities, have figured out solutions, but we aren't able to bring them to scale because we don't have the support of our so-called leaders. I grew up in a space where it was older young people, 16, 17, teaching me organizing in the tradition of Ella Baker. And now I'm in the role where I get to pass down knowledge to others. And it's really actually amazing. And I enjoy doing the teaching of the organizer work. And if I could do that like full time every day, I think I would. That's what my role was during the uprising. I didn't get to be outside as much as I would like. The Block squad, they were out, they were deployed, they were mobilized, and I was forced to have to, you know, sit in the office, make decisions, help raise funds for the bail fund, do media stuff, and that was a different role because I'm really used to being on the front lines. But it was needed because somebody has to stay back and help coordinate stuff. But it was just beautiful to watch so many new faces and people joining this tradition and this work and have stayed around.
Right. And so there's also been this kind of misconception, I think, mostly from people outside of Baltimore, even some within, that it wasn't until the uprising that people became mobilized and kind of started doing things. I mean, we know people have been mobilizing around different campaigns, issues, conditions for a long time in the city. But from your kind of vantage point, kind of in the middle of all of this when it was going on, how have you seen that start to change at all? Like, have you seen it kind of something new driving people? Have you seen more people getting involved? Like, has there been any kind of tangible change that you can put your hand on?
I see more people understanding the importance of being involved and the importance of collective action, which was something that kind of fell apart over the last few years in the city. Like, don't get me wrong, people were still doing things, but it was much smaller groups. The groups have grown, they're still growing, and I think that's beautiful because it allows us to build an infrastructure that holds people accountable. And I don't mean just like us as organizers, but us as those holding the people in power accountable, right? There's people who they recognize by face at this point, to the point where they're trying to block them from coming to community events because they don't want to answer questions. They don't want to be held accountable. And I think that's beautiful because it shows that they're scared. It shows that we have actual power, which we know we have, but it's convincing other people that they have power. That's the trick.
You know, where did you think we were going to be a year from now when you were thinking back last year, and like, where are we actually, where do we still need to go?
a year ago, I don't really know. I wasn't even trying to think of, like, now. It's still amazing to me that a year has passed when it felt like we were dealing with the aftermath of the uprising for about 6 to 7 months after it. Be that people's personal health, myself included, the meetings, all this money that has moved into Baltimore that we haven't seen any of the effects of. I kind of feel like we kind of are where I expect it to be honest. Because I know change doesn't happen overnight. I think the uprising was a beginning of a much larger movement here in Baltimore, not the movement itself, right? And I think that's where people confuse things. They think of the uprising as this week-long period of, like, a movement. And don't get me wrong, it was a flashpoint, but I think it was the start of a longer struggle that people are becoming involved in. And I'm happy to see that. As far as this mayor's race and this election, I think there's... I mean, it's a circus. Let's just start there. But I think there's opportunity to see who's on our side, new allies or new enemies. And that is to say that all elected officials should be on alert that the minute this primary is over, we will be at your door. Block don't sleep. We don't stop. So don't think just because we may have good relationships with you that we won't hold you accountable, and that, you know, we're going to move forward and try to improve the city for all the citizens of Baltimore.
Do you have faith that things are really going to change?
I have faith in the citizens of Baltimore and those that are active in trying to change their communities, and particularly those who I could consider my protest family and activist family. I have almost zero faith in elected officials, not because they aren't good people, but because the system is corrupt and we have to start talking about issues at the root cause to really create change. And until we're willing to do that and face the fact that some institutions are racist and just accept that that is a fact of life right at this point and figure out how to fix that and change those systems. That's the general reason why I don't have faith in institutions like the electoral system and current administration of city government. And depending on who the mayor is, I may not have faith in that mayoral administration, or I may be saying, you know what, let's give them a chance. And that just depends on, you know, who wins.
You know, what will you and your brothers and sisters who are part of this movement do to ensure that this happens, that, you know, citizens' voices continue to be heard and actually acted upon? And, you know,
we have ideas, we have agendas. You should listen, because I'll just say this, like we tweeted out recently, the reason Bernstein lost was because the community didn't support him, and that's why Mosby won. And you should be aware that we can do the same again. Just because we weren't prepared to be as fully engaged as we would like this election to push our own candidates doesn't mean that in 2 to 4 years in the next few elections, we won't be. Chicago has proved that long-term organizing can affect elections. And if you would like your job, you should be accountable and do your job. A year later, nothing has changed. A year later, we're still fighting. A year from now, we'll still be fighting. And that's just one thing you can count on.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. I'm going to thank Stephanie Mavronis for that interview with Riley Case, who's been a guest on the show many times, coordinator for Baltimore Block, Be More Block, which is an organization in this town that has been fighting for change and justice for a while now.